All right. Well, can we pray before we head in, before we approach God's word? Lord, thank you for your word. It is living and active. God, we see it as a seed. And I pray that the seed of your word would take root, be planted in our hearts and take root and produce a great harvest. Transform us from the inside out. And today we say, Holy Spirit, have your way. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen. Amen. Well, are you ready for God's word today? All right. Money has a way of influencing our decisions, whether we realize it or not. I think that's why Jesus talked about it. I think that's why the Bible has so much to say about money. But it does influence our decisions. So this past summer, just a number of weeks ago, our family had the opportunity to go out west and we visited the Grand Teton National Park. And our very first day in that park, we went to a place called Jenny Lake. We were excited. Now, Jenny Lake, if you haven't been there, Jenny Lake is this beautiful lake at the foot of the Grand Teton mountain range. And so you can take a boat ride across the lake and then go on the other side. There's hiking trails. You can actually hike up to something called Inspiration Point. That's literally the name of it. And it's just a beautiful area. And so we're really excited about this. We get there. There's people everywhere. The parking lot is packed. Could barely find a spot. Finally found one. We get our stuff together. We go. And it's a very big tourist attraction. There's bathrooms there. There's a gift shop. And we get ready to go get in line for the boat ride. So while we're there, and if you've ever been in these national parks, you would see signs that say, watch out for bears. And then there's signs that say, make sure you have bear spray. So as we're getting our things together, someone in my family says, should we get some bear spray? And I said, nah, I don't think we need any. There's a lot of people around. And plus, there's five of us. So if a bear does approach us, I don't think it's gonna mess with us. From the looks of their faces, I realized that did not bring them any assurance. And so Kelly's kind of looking at me like, are you sure about, you know what you're talking about? And so I get the vibes. And so I said, well, would it make you feel better if we got some bear spray? Because they had vending machines there that you pay $10 to rent a can of bear spray. Then you have to put it back 24 hours later. I'm like, would it make you feel better if we got some? And they're all like, yeah, it would make us feel better. And so I said, fine, I'll go get some. And maybe with a little bit of attitude, I said, I don't mind giving the national parks a $10 donation. And no one thought that was funny. So I went, I got some bear spray, and then I come back and we have about a 5 or 10 minute walk on paved sidewalks to the boat. And now it's like a long walk. They're like, there's a little bit of tension, right? They're kind of frustrated. You know how family vacation, there's always that moment where it's like, okay, we're kind of tense. It's like, how long is this gonna last? So I'm kind of frustrated and they're kind of frustrated. And so we're walking and I'm just like, no, there's no use for this. So we get to the boat dock, get in line. There's a bunch of people there. And we see some people pointing to something out in the woods. And so we turn and look, and I kid you not, there in the woods was a bear. It was the only bear we saw all week. And I'm like, really, in this moment? And so I turn to my family and I just say to them, aren't you glad I got some bear spray for us? I actually brought a picture of the bear. Do you wanna see it? There it is. That's how far away the bear was. That's my phone fully zoomed in. There's a little shadow right there in the middle, and that's where the bear was, like eating berries. And so, and we found out that it was a cinnamon black bear. I mean, it's like, this is a teddy bear, right? And I think the boat captain that we talked to, I think they're actually more concerned about people hurting the bears there than bears hurting people. But I will just say this. Don't take bear advice from me or any guidance. I'm not qualified for that. If you go into these parks, you need to follow what the professionals say. But that was our bear spray debacle. And you know what it came down to? I didn't want to spend $10. Even if it meant my family's peace of mind, I didn't want to spend $10. Because money has a way of influencing our decisions. And so it's important to understand what the Bible teaches us how to handle money. Because no matter what family of origin you grew up in, whatever kind of experience you had, we all have some kind of perspective on how to handle money. And so I get it. No one really likes to be told how to handle their money or what to do with their money, but it's very important that we know what does Scripture teach about how to handle money. And so that's what we're gonna talk about. We're in the third week of a series called Kingdom-Driven Generosity. And we're building a biblical foundation that's preparing us in this church-wide effort called Matthew 25 Project, where we wanna be more outward focused and kingdom-minded with what we have and who we are and how we can make a difference. And so we're not just gonna rush into this. The first offering is September 14th. That's when we're gonna launch this. We're gonna hear more about this in the coming weeks and months. We're laying a biblical foundation. What does kingdom-driven generosity mean? What does it mean to be more outward focused and kingdom-minded? And so today we're gonna talk about the law of reciprocity. Can you say reciprocity? I've been practicing that for the last few weeks because I want to mess it up. Because that's not really a word I use that much. Maybe you use it, but I want to try and work it in more conversations. But reciprocity is very important to understand because it is a kingdom principle that's always at work. And Jesus taught it. And Scripture gives us guidance on it. So let's go to Luke chapter 6 and see how Jesus taught the law of reciprocity, this foundational principle to live by. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. This is in the middle of the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is teaching his disciples and large crowds what the kingdom of God is, how it's different than how a person should live according to the ways of this world or what's intuitive to humans. And so that's why we need the teachings of Jesus. Luke chapter 6, verse 37. It says this, "Do not judge others and you will not be judged. Do not condemn others or it will all come back against you. Forgive others and you will be forgiven. Give and you will receive. Your gift will return to you in full, pressed down, shaken together to make room for more, running over and poured into your lap. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back." Think about that last sentence. The amount you give will determine the amount you get back. That is the law of reciprocity. I encourage you to write this down. God will overflow your life with what you generously pour into others. That's the kingdom of God. See, I always thought this verse, and I've heard it kind of pulled out, it's just talking about money, but it's so much bigger than just money. Whether it's mercy or judgment, condemnation, forgiveness, resources, including money and time and skills and talents, the way you treat others with what you have will shape what you experience in your own life. Both spiritually and relationally, you can count on this. So a good question to ask yourself today is, and I think this is a good self-examination question in general, what is overflowing in your life right now? What are you experiencing a generous amount of? Criticism, bitterness, loneliness, judgment, needs, or encouragement, friendships, provision, mercy, and peace. My guess is it's a combination of all of those things or some of those things. But again, it goes back to whatever is overflowing in your life is growing from something you've given. Maybe recently, maybe a long time ago. That's the law of reciprocity. So if you need mercy, pour it out. Forgiveness, release that to someone else. Provision, start giving, even if it's something small. We don't wait for overflow, we start it. That's what Jesus is teaching here. So I'm going to give it a little bit more practical today. How does this law of reciprocity, how does it collide with everyday life? I want to give you a couple steps for what the practice of this is. Number one, and I encourage you to write this down, sow faithfully. S-O-W, sow faithfully. Sowing is not this mechanical transaction. It is a relational invitation to partner with God for his purposes. So when you think about sowing faithfully, it is about God's kingdom, having that in mind. Now, let's talk a moment for the tithe, right? The tithe is a starting point for this sowing faithfully. And we talk about that on a regular basis here, but I want to make sure that we have a good understanding of what the tithe is. So go to Malachi chapter 3. Now, Malachi, the book of Malachi, he's a prophet. And he brings God's word to the people of Israel, who were God's chosen people. God had a covenant relationship with them. And that means that there were rules to follow. And God said, if you obey, you're going to be blessed. If you disobey, you're going to be cursed. Right? It's very conditional. That was specifically for the people of Israel prior to Jesus coming. But I think it's important to understand this idea of tithe. Here's where it's explained in detail. Malachi 3:8. It says, so God is speaking through the prophet Malachi. Should people cheat God? Yet you have cheated me. But you ask, what do you mean? When did we ever cheat you? You have cheated me of the tithes and offerings due to me. You are under a curse, for your whole nation has been cheating me. So bring all the tithes into the storehouse so there will be enough food in my temple. If you do, says the Lord of heaven's armies, I will open the windows of heaven for you. I will pour out a blessing so great you won't have enough room to take it in. Try it. Put me to the test. Your crops will be abundant, for I will guard them from insects and disease. Your grapes will not fall from the your grapes will not fall from the vine before they are ripe, says the Lord of heaven's armies. Then all the nations will call you blessed. The tithe, that word means tenth. So there was a teaching to the people of Israel to bring the first tenth of their crops, and they would bring it to the storehouse, the temple, so that needs would be taken care of. Now, some churches, and you may have heard this kind of teaching, but some churches teach that if you don't tithe, you will be under a curse of poverty. And you know what that does? That brings shame and condemnation and guilt to people. And it's like, man, I don't wanna be under a curse of poverty, so I guess I need to take this step. But I do not believe that that's what scripture teaches us. Now, that's what the case was for Israel. But Jesus, when he came, he broke the curse of sin, and he broke the curse of this punishment. He took it upon himself, and he fulfilled all the requirements of the law. So tithing, or this practice of tithing, should not be practiced from a place of shame or guilt, condemnation, or even trying to manipulate God. Well, I'm going to do this so that I receive something from him. But there is a very important principle to be drawn from this, because there's a connection between what the Lord was teaching Israel in those times with the tithe that prepared all God's people for the kingdom of God. And that's what I think is very key to understand about tithing, because with Israel, the law of reciprocity is tied to covenant loyalty. Right, this covenant relationship. God's blessing was connected to their obedience. So bringing the tithe, or the first part of their crops, that was supporting the temple, was supporting the priests who were serving there, this covenant community, so that they could thrive. When it comes to the kingdom of God, what's important to understand is that now God entrusts resources to his people, expecting faithful stewardship for the advancement of his purpose and his kingdom. So Jesus taught then that generosity fuels his mission, and it comes through his people. And this is also why Paul, he said in 2 Corinthians 9, he said, and he was talking to followers of Jesus, he said, each person should decide in their heart how much to give. You should never give out of compulsion or being coerced into it. Shouldn't give out of pressure, feeling pressured to do so, but out of this joyful obedience. God has given trusted resources to me. I want to give and bring a portion of it and fuel God's mission. And so when you hear tithe, you will hear that throughout scripture. It's not just in Malachi. It's this idea of bringing the first, this first tenth, that is a starting point. Now, for some people, there may be times when, depending on a circumstance, 10% just seems impossible, especially if this is new to you. There may be some debt that you're dealing with, some unexpected expenses. Maybe you overcommitted some financial obligations. If you find yourself in that place, here's what I would tell you, my encouragement. My encouragement to you is to at least choose a percentage, have it as a starting point. Small enough that's reachable, yet large enough that will stretch your faith. And see what God will do as you sow faithfully. No matter what situation you're in, the goal is always the same. And the principle remains the same. And I want you to write this down. Again, law of reciprocity is so important. It's this, that releasing what you have for God's purposes makes room for multiplication. When you release what's in your hand for his purpose, it will make room for it to multiply. Multiply in how it impacts other people, and it will make room in your life for multiplication. I've just seen this over and over in many people's lives. We see it in scripture. I'm not trying to come up with my own idea. I'm just giving you what God's word says. This principle is not just for the spiritually mature, wealthy adults. It's for all ages. Learning how to release a portion of what God has entrusted to us for his purposes. Now, I remember when I was young, like a kid, like 7 or 8 years old, and my parents, so grateful that they taught me this principle when I was young, but I remember getting a dollar and they would give it to me in 10 dimes and say, one dime, set that aside, you're gonna put it in the offering, you know, this coming Sunday. And so what were they teaching me? Do you think that one dime, that 10 cents was gonna help the church budget? That's not the point. The point was, okay, God has given, you know, what I have is a gift from God. I'm gonna give a portion and make him a priority in what he's given it. And it's built this level of trust. He's my provider. Whatever I have left is going to be enough for my needs. Right? I didn't really understand all of that when I was 7 or 8. Now that I look back, I think, wow, that was building in me something that was so, it still impacts me to this day. So if your parents, you have young kids, I'd encourage you to teach them what it is to put God first in their money. It's gonna be a tangible way that they can have outwork this way of saying, God is my provider. Everything that I have in my life is from him, and I'm gonna take a portion and put it towards his kingdom, his first, not out of guilt, not out of shame, not trying to manipulate. We're just saying it's a way that we honor God. So when you take that step, you are partnering with God in his purpose, and then he promises to take care of you. And that takes trust. I get it. Let me say, when you take this step, that trust in God as your provider, that will be tested. When you so faithfully say, God, I trust you as my provider, that will be tested. And that gets me to the second step, practicing this. And it's wait patiently. See, in my mind, sowing faithfully should lead right to reaping abundantly. You know, I sow today, I'm gonna reap tomorrow. And let me just say, that does not always happen. God will multiply, I can tell you that, but he will multiply in his way and in his timing, not ours. Go to Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Jesus says these words. He says, seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. Seek him first, above all. Seek the kingdom of God above all else. It's not that there aren't other things to seek, It's not like we don't have any other priorities in life or responsibilities. He's just saying, look, in all of the things that you're gonna seek in life, make sure this is first. And if you do that and you live righteously, God knows what you need and he'll provide for it. That's a promise to hold on to. Now that may look different than what you picture. When you sow faithfully, you bring a portion of what God has given. You bring that portion. All right, think about the feeding of the 5,000, the story in the Gospels. A young boy brings a lunch of 5 loaves and 2 fish. And he gives that lunch in order for 5,000 plus people to be fed. Now, I don't know what was going through his mind at the time, but I was young once. And I would just imagine, like, how is this going to work? This is going to feed 5,000. Okay, I'm gonna give it. But let me tell you what Jesus did not say. He did not say to the boy, can I have your lunch? And can you go home and tell your mom we need all the groceries in the pantry? And we need actually all your grocery money for a year and you need to bring that back so we can feed. That's not what happened. He gave a portion. And maybe he thought he was gonna go out without a lunch for a day. But when he gave that lunch, Jesus took it, blessed it, multiplied and fed 5,000 people with it. It multiplied. And then there were 12 baskets left over, 12 baskets of food left over. We don't know if that went back to the boy and his family. My assumption is that some of that probably did. And so when you give, that's where we can be confident. There's a waiting time, but there is a multiplication that takes place. So let's bring it into our church context. When you give financially into this church, do you know you are supporting the ministry that happens here when somebody chooses to be water baptized? You're part of that. There's a multiplication that's gonna have impact. There's missionaries that support it all around the world. When you give into this local church, it supports the work that's going all around the world, going on all around the world. When you give financially, it supports all of our children and students who are being discipled. They're meeting in a space just like we're meeting in here. And when you give, our hearts are then cemented to the work that God is doing. So it's such an important step to take, putting God first. But if we give with a motivation like I'm gonna give and I'm gonna get something in return, God's gonna bless, he's gonna open the windows of heaven. That's the only reason that we give, that focus is misplaced. There's a trust in that waiting that God is going to multiply his timing, his way, even if it looks different than ours. This will be tested. Man, it's been tested in our lives. I remember a number of years ago, Kelly and I were in the young family stage, and I mean, finances were really tight. And there were many months where like we would get to the end of the month and it's like just our budget did not cover the bills. And if you've ever been in that situation, it's a very stressful place to be. So you're always wondering, it's like, man, our account is at zero. And then it's like, there's things that we need. And it's very, very stressful. And I remember being in one of those seasons and it was creating pressure in our home, pressure in our relationship. And then I remember one specific day, I got a phone call from her and Kelly called me and she's in tears. And she said, we just got some unexpected medical bills. And she just told me this morning, the bill was $259. And we did not have that. And so she's in tears saying, what are we gonna do? And so I'm on the other line. I'm saying, well, we'll figure it out. But inside I'm like, I don't know how we're gonna figure it out. I don't know what we're gonna do. And so I get home from work and we're, talking. It was that night. We didn't tell anyone about this need, but that night, some point in the evening, our doorbell rings. And I think it was around 8 o'clock. And that's very unusual for our doorbell to ring at 8 p.m. Please don't stop by and ring our doorbell at 8 p.m. And so I go to the door a little bit cautious. I'm like, who's gonna be here? And I go to the door, open it up. Our glass door is there. There's no one standing there, but there's an envelope taped to the door. And so I pull the envelope off and I'm looking around. I'm like, am I getting pranked right now? But I pull the envelope up, I open it up, and inside is $250. God's provision. And we covered the other 9, by the way, in case you were wondering. of course, we're opening this up and we're just crying. And it was this moment, this defining moment that God was saying, if you take care of me, I will take care of you. Because there were moments when it was tight, when I remember having those thoughts, you know, we were tithing, we were staying faithful to that. But there were times where I was like, man, that 10% really could go towards some of these bills. And it was just this defining moment saying, God is saying, when you put me first, I will make sure you're taken care of. Now, I will also say, for a number of months after that, every time the doorbell rang, I was wondering, I wonder if there's gonna be an envelope on the door. But that has never happened since then. And it was like God was taking us on this journey to trust him and to getting us to the point where God was working in our lives and saying, you know what, Matt and Kelly, now it's time for you guys to put an envelope on the door of someone else because I want to work through you to meet somebody's need. Waiting patiently is a very, very important part of building a trust and a faith in God as our provider. So you sow faithfully, wait patiently. It gets us to number three is reap purposefully and repeat. Right? We want to live like this all belongs to him anyway. So reaping purposefully, you know what that means? Let me ask you a question. If your income doubled today, what would change in your life? Your lifestyle? Your savings, or your giving, generosity. Let's just take a, you know, not for money for a second, let's take a break from that. If your schedule allowed you that you just doubled your time that you had, doubled the amount of free time you have in your life, what would change? How would you use that time for God's purposes? Because as we're sowing faithfully, it's shaping something in us and it's actually showing something to God that we can be faithful with what he's entrusted to us. This is the story of Matthew chapter 25. It's the parable that Jesus taught about how to steward what's been entrusted to us. And I want to read in Matthew 25, verse 19. And just think about this parable. I just want to pick it up in the middle of it. You can read the whole story if you want. But after a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money, right? It's a parable. The master entrusted bags of money to the servants, and they were giving an account of how they had used his money, not their own. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest and I have earned 5 more. Now, I want you to listen to the master's response. First, the master was full of praise. Well done, my good and faithful servant. Public affirmation. Well done. But it didn't stop there. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together. You did so well in this, now I'm gonna give you more responsibilities. Do you know what that would be like? Kids, if you have a chore chart and you did so well getting all your chores done, your parents would say, well done. Here's an even bigger chore chart for you to do. That's what this would feel like. The reward for faithfulness is more responsibilities, more opportunities, but it is more responsibilities. Let's just get honest and call it more work. So multiplication, we think about God's blessing and his multiplication and the reward for faithfulness. It's not for personal gain. It's for kingdom opportunities and kingdom purposes that God wants to partner with his people for the mission that Jesus sent us. So we have the opportunity to multiply who we are, what we have, by releasing it to God's kingdom. That's what Matthew 25 Project is leading us to. And I believe there's a step for us as a church to take together to really see, okay, what does it look like to live like all of this belongs to him? What does that really mean? The law of reciprocity, I wanna invite us into living according to it. Now, I wanna give just the time for a reflection, because I know talking about money in church, it can create all kinds of different emotional responses. I feel it, I even feel it in the room. I feel a little bit of tension. I'm okay with that though. Because I'm not here to tell you what my opinion is of what you should do with your money. I'm just saying, here's what Jesus taught about it. It's really up to you if you want to follow. But I'm saying as a church, imagine if we grab a hold of this together. So here are a couple of questions just to think about. Again, this is for all ages. Number one, where do you need to trust God's timing even when you don't see immediate results? Number two, what story do you want to tell a year from now about how you trusted God with your resources? And then number three, how might God be inviting you to live as if everything you have truly belongs to him? I want to encourage you to choose one of those questions. Think about it now. I mean, you can think about all three, but choose one of those. The one that the Spirit of God might be prompting you to reflect on. And then just simply say, okay, Holy Spirit, you live inside of me. What are you saying? Is there a step to take? So I actually want to give us just a moment now, just a moment of quiet. And we can listen, hear God. I don't know what he's speaking to you. The one that challenges me the most, in case you're wondering, how might God be inviting me to live as if everything I have truly belongs to him? It is so easy for me to drift into everything I have, I guess it belongs to me, right? It's easy for me to drift into that. That's where my mind goes first. I have to remind myself, okay, no, this isn't all about, I'm not talking about church stuff, I'm saying personal things. So I have to say, okay, no, this is, I'm a steward, not an owner. And so what am I gonna do with what God has entrusted to me? I don't know what it might be for you, but I encourage you to let the Spirit of God speak to you. So let me give you just a moment of quiet. Lord, we thank you for your Holy Spirit. Actively moving in every heart. Bringing to our attention what needs to be brought to our attention. I pray that we would learn to be sensitive to your Spirit. So easy to go by our own instincts. May we be sensitive to your Spirit. I believe that the Lord is leading us as a church into a deeper level of kingdom-driven generosity. Open our eyes a little bit wider to see the needs around us. And instead of saying, man, I hope somebody does something about that, we start with saying, God, what can we do? I believe God is leading us into this to be an example to our children and this next generation. So I believe the kingdom of God is gonna expand pretty rapidly over the next few years. And God is inviting us to be a part of it. So God, we wanna be aligned with you and your word, your will. And as a church, we wanna be in agreement together to see your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. The things that are already happening in heaven, you wanna bring to earth. So I pray that we would see what our part in this is. Given our time, money, talents and skills and experience, see how we can participate in your kingdom. Thank you for that. In Jesus' name. Would you just keep your heads bowed for a moment? I don't want to dismiss without giving you an opportunity today to receive this gift of salvation through Jesus. Nothing we do to earn it or deserve it. Jesus said, you want to be my follower? You want to be my disciple? He said, take up your cross. Follow me, repent of your sins, turn from your selfish ways. Follow me, learn from me. My way is gentle. My yoke is easy, the burden is light. You follow me, that's where you're gonna find rest. What feels like giving up your life, what feels like sacrifice and giving up everything actually leads to a life of rest and peace. And purpose and joy. Because you don't have to carry the weight of your life trying to figure out everything. If you're ready to receive this gift because of what Jesus has done, I wanna lead you in a prayer. And really, the prayer is just a starting point. It's a prayer of surrender. It's a prayer of repentance, change. And it's a prayer saying, I'm gonna follow Jesus, no turning back. So if you're ready to do that, I'm gonna invite you to repeat this out loud. I'm gonna invite everyone to pray just so nobody's praying alone. Would you say, Heavenly Father, I thank you for Jesus. I believe he is the Son of God. And Jesus, I believe you came to this earth, died on a cross, shed your blood for me. You were buried in a tomb and you rose from the dead so that I could have eternal life. I repent of my sins, receive forgiveness, and I choose Jesus to be my Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that sincerely, believe in your heart, Jesus is Lord, that he was raised from the dead, you have been spiritually born again, receiving this gift of salvation, again, by grace. Nothing we did to earn it, only through what Jesus has done. If you receive this gift, being spiritually born again is just like being born physically, right? You need to learn how to talk and how to walk and learn how to live. Well, when you're spiritually born again, there are similar kind of baby steps to take. And so as a church, we're gonna walk with you. The ushers have a Bible for you. This will be your first step. We want you to have a Bible. So if you pray this, would you just raise your hand until an usher sees you and they'll give you a Bible? Again, if you receive this gift of salvation, no matter what age you are, keep it up until an usher sees you. I see at least one hand go up. Can we thank God for that person and anyone else? 7 people raised their hand in the 9 a.m. service. So just letting you know. So if you also receive this gift today, I want you to put your hand up to get a Bible. And then after the service, I wanna encourage you to go to the Connections room to my right. We have a team of people there that would love to talk with you. pray with you if you'd like. This journey of faith is not meant to be walked alone, so make sure you stop by there. And then your next step is to be water baptized. Baptism is this way of publicly declaring you're following Jesus, no turning back. You share what Jesus has done in your life. And it's like this oath of loyalty you make to him. So I'd encourage you to take that step. It's very important for every believer to take that step. And we have a class to go through that helps you, walks you through that. worshipcenter.org/baptism. I'd encourage you to sign up if you're ready to take that step. All right, well, it's been so good being together. If you need prayer for any reason, we'll have our prayer team down front. If you're new to Worship Center, make sure you stop by Connections. If you're a young adult, age 18 to 30 in that range, there's a space for you to my left. We'd love to help you get connected. And if you need prayer for any reason, make sure you come up here for prayer. We'd love to pray for you. Would you all stand, please? If you're interested in getting connected in a small group, make sure you stop by our group's stations as well. But don't forget, before you go, you are God's masterpiece. You've been created on purpose for an incredible purpose. So go out this week, passionately pursue the purpose God has in your life and be amazed at what God can do through you. Have a great rest of your day. We'll see you here next Sunday.